Well, good morning, folks. You may not remember me, but I'm the one who, when we had the ministerium here, introduced your pastor. You remember that? Yes, sir. I like Reggie because he roomed with my son for 4 years when he was at Andrews University at the seminary. So he has a special place in my heart for him. And I'm glad that my son had someone up there that he could relate to. You know, and my oldest son at this time, I'm going to give you a little bit of history. You don't mind if I do that? He's a Seventh-day Adventist chaplain in the Air Force. And my second son, especially my second son, I love him to death. He was incarcerated for 5.5 years, and he got, he said, "Dad, I ain't never going back." So he comes out, becomes a full-time student at Bowie State. Finds the girl of his life. He marries her. They have a child. Just last week, I became my fourth grandchild. And so he's doing great. He's doing fine. He kept his promise to the Lord. And he's busy for the Lord. He's got a mentoring program. He's got a tutoring program. And he's going from school to school, helping young kids, young men or women from going into trouble. You understand? So that's what he kept his promise to the Lord, and that's exactly what he's doing. And I want you to know, during those 5.5 years, I visited him every week for 5.5 years. And you say, ask me, why did I do that? Because I want the Lord to treat me the same way. I don't want the Lord to ever give up on me. You know what I'm talking about? We mess up bad sometimes, but we don't want the Lord to ever give up on us. Amen? So God is good. Bless his heart. I mean, bless his heart. Glory be his name. Well, let's turn to the word of God this time. And Joshua chapter 7. I love this particular passage of scripture. I love this story because sometimes we make that same mistake. Okay, let me get this thing straightened out. This is electronic stuff. Okay. All right, Joshua 7 is what I want you to read. A young man just read it so well. I couldn't believe I said it. A young man gonna read all that? All these names and stuff, but he read it. Yes. Praise the Lord. But chapter 7 of Joshua, beginning with verse 1. Oh, Heavenly Father, I ask that you give me wisdom and understanding from above, that I may speak these words that thou hast before me. And Lord, I ask that you'll bless the precious souls that are within me here, and that the hearts may be opened, that they may understand and receive. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua, said unto him, let not all the people go up. Only about 2,000 or 3,000 men can go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them down from the gate even unto the Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou that all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God... we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when the children of Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and also have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Therefore neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Now, this is a story has been, Israel's been involved in military conquest. They witnessed a lot of things. They go to Jericho, this strata fortress. It's never had siege ramps on it, never had anyone ever been conquered. Just this huge, magnificent city. And the Israelites were going to conquer it. And they did. If they obeyed the Lord, they all conquered it. They witnessed the amazing defeat of the city of Jericho. They marched around the city 13 times over 6 days. They shouted and blew the trumpets, and the city walls fell flat. They conquered Jericho without firing a shot. Then they were still basking in the glow of that great event. They are sure that they are unbeatable. They are certain that every obstacle in their path will be moved out of their way. So look at, we just read verse 1. However, reveals the truth that God is upset with Israel. I don't want God upset with me. Israel thought that everything was all right. He thought that they were standing on the edge of a string of victories that would see them conquering the entire land and the promise. But the Lord, verse 1 says, but, signals a change of fortunes for Israel. Up until now they have been blessed and greatly and used greatly of the Lord, but now things have changed. They thought they were unstoppable. But what they did not know was there was a serious problem in their midst. There was one man among them who was causing a problem for the entire family of God. His name was Achan. You know, the scenario is the same today. You know, we are all members of one body. We all know that when there's one member of the body that has problems, the entire body suffers. You know, the funny thing that we would get communion service, we say, at the Allegheny's conference, they have this, conflict resolution seminar team. So when a church can't get along, they send down that resolution team. So all the churches I pastored, they said, Pastor, aren't you going to call a conference? I said, no, I'm not going to call a conference. I'm not going to call no conflict resolution. I said, your problem is you ain't listening to the Holy Ghost. So that's the bottom line. You know, we can sit there and call all kind of conference down here and call it a general conference if you want to and have some leaders talk to you. That ain't going to do nothing. You need to listen to the Holy Ghost. And if you say there's a problem in the church, you start with yourself. Do a self-examination. Look at yourself first. And if everybody said, I am guilty, then we can be on the right path. Amen? So I hear people come to me sometimes, this church is going to die, which will make me so angry. Because I say, well, what you going to do about it? Don't sit there and tell me the church is going to die. What you going to do about it? Ain't you a Christian? What you going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? So don't ever talk to me like that. I don't like that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes your spiritual temperature has a profound effect on the entire body of Christ. So if we come in here with chips on our shoulders and in anger all the time, becoming crime watch commandos, seeing who's doing good, who's doing bad. When you go to the grocery store, looking through the grocery cart and see what they got in there. Come on, you know all that. Crime watch commandos. Wait for somebody to mess up. Huh? But I want you to know that what I want to give you is how to avoid spiritual defeat. And that's one of them. Stop looking at your neighbor and look at yourself. See, if you try to hide sin in your life, your secret will eventually get out, because sin will affect you and all those around you. That's what happens. See, when my son messed up, his sin didn't just affect him. It affected the whole family, tore us all up. You know what I'm talking about? So be sure your sins will find you out. Then the Bible tells us in Psalm 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So the Lord knows what you're doing. We call it a secret sin because man don't know about it. Any secret sin because God don't know about it. God knows about it. And you know God knows about it. Can you imagine knowing that God knows about it, but you're not doing nothing about it? That's scary. That's scary because you have to be careful now, because what happens where our conscience becomes seared? And that's how you commit the unpardonable sin. You can't give it up. You don't have the power to say, God, forgive me, and leave it alone. So you need to be careful. Amen? Amen. So we might not want to admit it, but we all know that sin causes problems. It causes problems for the one sinning, and it causes problems for everyone around them. In other words, I used to have this phrase called, sin makes you stupid. Oh, yeah, sin will make you stupid. Why is it that God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross over on dry land just for Pharaoh to go in there and slaughter them? And Pharaoh said, let's go down and get him. See, sin will make you stupid. See, when God opened the Red Sea and those people crossed, I ain't going in there. I think this is God's message. He tells us to leave them folk alone. But no, but Pharaoh was stupid. He went in after them, and the whole army was drowned. So don't get stupid. A lot of times we want independence from the time on the stupidest part of our life. Now, as a teenager, I was a teenager once, y'all. So I ain't just talking about you, but that's the stupidest time of our life because we want independence. We think we can do anything, nothing will happen to us. You know what I'm saying? I was one of those. I was one of them teenagers who thought I was invincible, incredible, and all that kind of stuff. And then I discovered as I got older, sin makes you stupid. You understand what I'm saying? But most of us are like aching from time to time. We have a little aching period. You know what I'm saying? We allow sin into our lives. We try to hide those sins. We try to cover them up. When we do, we bring pain and trouble into our lives. It's just funny thing, just like David and Bathsheba. David, he couldn't, when he tried to hide or cover his sin, the situation got worse and worse. You brought a woman in this house that wasn't supposed to be there. She gets pregnant. He calls her husband and says, go in the house with her. So she hoping that her husband get her pregnant and he can say, oh, I'm free now, I'm okay. But the husband said, I can't do that. We're not my men out in the field. I can't do that. So he goes back to the field and David said, uh-oh. His plan didn't work. So now he had to go create another scenario. And the only way he had out was to have Uriah killed. And told his general Joab, go put him in the heat of the battle so he'll get killed. So he thought he was free. I got Bathsheba now and everything would be all right. But a whole year had passed before David could even say anything to the Lord. A whole year. But who took the initiative? God. God sent Nathan the prophet to him to wake, snap him out of his stupor. He needs to be snapped out of it. Sometimes we need to be snapped out of it. Just like when someone commits infidelity and you say, I just can't break away. Someone needs to snap you out of your stupor. Someone needs to get you out of that situation because it's like witchcraft. You need almost an exorcist to get you away from that situation. Do you understand me? I'm trying to tell you about sin. Sin is something else. You can't play with it. You can't play with sin. So under Israel endured a terrible slaughter. They took this. Let's go and look at Ai. That's a smaller city, way smaller than Jericho. Oh, we just defeated Jericho. We can go. Ai is nothing. Don't send all the men up there. Just send about 2,000 or 3,000. We will wipe them out and clear them out just like that. Didn't ask the Lord a thing. Didn't pray to the Lord. Said, Lord, should we or could we? Didn't pray to him. Did not one of them drop the knee. Not even Joshua. Got on his knees and said, Lord, can we take it? They just went up there. They were so full of their britches. My mother would say, "Something you getting stuck out too big for your britches." They got so high, and they were in the thrill of victory because they beat Jericho. Well, nobody ever beat Jericho, but they beat Jericho. And now they said, "What's Ai? What's that little city gonna do?" And they went and attacked them, and they got slaughtered. 36 men died. That's 36 widows, 36 childless. Fatherless children, you know, so that hurt them real bad. They said when the Israelites heard of the news, they said their hearts turned to water. You know what I'm talking about? You ever have your heart turn like that before? That's just like saying, oh, somebody call you on the phone and say your father just died. Your heart turns to water. Or somebody comes and says, where's your husband? My husband left. Okay, your heart turns to water. It's that kind of feeling when your heart feels like it just turned to water. It's a hurting feeling. The children of Israel couldn't understand, how is it that God helped us beat Jericho, but little that small said, hey, I beat the pants off of us. It's because you got too big for your britches. Didn't ask God nothing. See, well, let me tell you something. You better ask God. Don't think that you're so big that you don't have to ask God just because you won this victory. Huh? And we win victories from here sometimes, don't we? Amen? I like to win a victory, don't you? I want to be victorious in my Christian life. What about you? But don't watch yourself. Don't start saying, okay, Lord, I got this. Huh? We on our knees sometimes when Christians get in trouble. Huh? They're on their knees praying and agonizing with God. Say, God, help me. Give me the strength to endure this trial. Help me, Lord. And then when victory comes, then you all of a sudden you say, well, okay, then you back away from the Lord. Let me tell you what I know. In 9/11, when they crashed no planes on those buildings, my church was packed on Wednesday night. Wednesday night prayer meeting was packed from the front to the back, from the side to the side. Even the fellowship hall was packed. And then when the situation went away, people started fading out. So wait, what happened? I thought you was here because of the emergency. That you need to get right with God. But now that everything's calm and collective, now you start fading away. That's just as bad as I used to be a Baptist. And let me tell you, some people go to church. Only time you see them in church was Easter. Buy all these fine outfits, get dressed up and go to church on Easter. Other than that, you don't see them no more. See, that's what people are like, you know. But you got to stop playing with God. God is not messing around. Sometimes we call ourselves trying to help God out. Here, Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out. Now, can you imagine that scenario? I laugh at that because here's Abraham and Sarah says, hey, why don't you take my handmaiden, that pretty thing from Egypt, you know? And Abraham said, okay. He wasn't going to argue with her. So there they go there and they cohabitate and have a child. And that wasn't the promised child. He said, you and Sarah are going to have a son. You and Sarah, not you and Hagar, huh? And so, even to this day, because of Abraham and Sarah's mistake, they are still dealing with it today. The Jew versus the Muslim. Ishmael against the children of Isaac. Still, this very day. Because you're trying to help out God. See, but here's an area we could all use help. Let's try to live the Christian life, fight the flesh and the devil in their own power. And we fail time after time. Reason? We do not take the time to strengthen our walk with God. Sometimes we satisfy with just raising our hands and praising the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And we pray three times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know. And we don't say nothing to the Lord when we go to bed. We go to bed on the Tonight Show instead of talking to the Lord before you close your eyes. I'm talking serious here. Sometimes people don't wake up. They die in their sleep. My sister did. And I always wondered, did she talk to the Lord before she went to sleep? So I've made it a habit. I made it a habit to talk to the Lord before I go to sleep. I ask him to forgive me my sins. Wipe my slate clean, Lord, as I go to sleep. And if I don't wake up, I know I made peace with God already. I'm serious, folks. I'm telling you. Get into the habit of talking to God before you go to sleep. Okay? Now, when we are walking with the Lord and in his word as we should be, we can be confident in the battles of life. We can face our enemies in the strength of God. We fall when we fail to utilize the whole armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God. This is a 24-hour armor. You need it on 24 hours a day because the devil's at you 24 hours a day. Some say, who killed the giant, David or God? God told David, I'm going to drop him for you. But David, I believe in human and divine collaboration. David was an expert with the sling. He killed a lion and a bear, but his heart was full of the Spirit of God. That's divine and human collaboration. So when he stood before David, he dropped Goliath like he was nothing. You understand? Because David was on fire for the Lord. He was not going to miss. Because you remember at one time the Israelites had they chose 700 men who were all left-handed, who could sling a stone at a hairbreadth and not miss. All left-handed. So David had perfected that skill, killed a lion and a bear. And he said, I'm going to drop this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine. And he did. Huh? You don't mess with God's people. See, but what happened in Ai, Israel had their confidence in their own power, not in the Lord. See, that's what happens when you get so big you think that you can do it yourself. And sometimes we find ourselves getting into trouble. The reason why I say Christians are always in trouble, because that's the only time you'll look up. Well, all right. Israel suffered their first defeat after Jericho, and their hearts did turn to water. Couldn't believe that little small city tore them up like they did. And God said, okay, somebody has committed a sin, and I want you to take care of the problem. When Joshua laid down on his face and with the other elders, and God said, get up. But he did the proper thing. He prayed to the Lord, didn't he? But the Lord said, get up. You got to take care of the problem. You can pray all day long, but you better get up and take care of the problem. You can find this man, and God told him how to do it. He said, go by tent, family by family, man by man. You're going to find out who took the accursed thing. And funny thing to Achan takes two things that he couldn't do nothing with, didn't know how. He takes some gold or silver or something like that and put it under his tent. Then he take a Babylonian garment. Where are you going to wear that Babylonian garment? At one of the festivals or something? Like I said, sin makes you stupid. God said, don't take all this stuff that you take from Jericho, you put it in the Lord's treasury. Do not touch the accursed thing. And he takes them and going to hide them under his tent. My goodness gracious, sin makes you stupid. But he did not realize that his family knew that he buried that stuff. And so when they caught Achan, his whole family perished. They put them all in that little hole, and they stoned them to death. And there was nothing but a pile of rocks on top of the whole entire family. See, sin don't just affect you. It affects your family. It's going to hurt somebody else. You understand what I'm talking about? The same is true in the church. When there is powerlessness in the church and souls aren't being saved, when the services are dull and lifeless, we need not blame the Lord. He is doing his part. The problem is always a problem within. When Joshua and Israel tried to figure out what is happening, God in heaven already knows and reveals it to Joshua. He tells him there is sin in the camp of Israel. He tells Joshua that this sin, why he is withholding his power and allowing them to be defeated. See, God will withhold his power. There were times that God blessed Israel, and Israel gave credit to a foreign God. And God had to move his hand. I can't have you receiving a blessing like that and you're going to give the credit to a foreign God. So God has to move his hand. Until they repented, he put his hand back on them again. Huh? God gives us some insights into sin. We need to pay attention to what God has to say. First of all, God knows about your sins. You can't hide them from him. You can hide them from everybody else, but you can't hide them from God. God knows about your sins. Secondly, God hates our sins. See, we are born loving what God hates and hating what God loves. We're born that way. But God hates our sins, but he loves the sinner. You understand? That's why he's trying to work to save you. All right? Number three, God has a plan for our sins. He wants us to get honest about our condition. He expects confession and repentance. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, because he was always repentant. And David never bowed his knee to a foreign God. Man after God's own heart. And then, number four, God will punish our sins. If you don't ask for forgiveness, if you don't ask for repentance, you're going to feel the sting later on. You understand what I'm talking about? Never say that I'll never forgive you long as I live. You just condemned yourself. Because the forgiven are forgiving. Aren't you forgiven? He first forgave you before you were born. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Number five, sin always affects those around us. No one sins in a vacuum. It's going to bother somebody else. Man, I'm going to tell you, we can tear up a family. I had a friend of mine come to me talking about how he was fooling around on his wife. And he was crying and everything. And he's like, I just can't break away. And I prayed. I got on my knees. I said, Lord, I said, demons of hell, let him alone. Get away from him. Because he was locked. You understand what I'm talking about? And he needed some. I said, Holy Spirit, you need to come help this man fight these demons. He can't do it by himself. But before he had left the situation, he had torn his family apart. His marriage failed. His kids left. So sin doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you. Never underestimate the amount of damage one sinner can cause. Huh? We need to remember that. I'm not trying to glorify sin. I just want you to glorify victory. I'm trying to help you avoid spiritual defeat. God already knows what your sins are. Now you need to get on your knees. You need to ask them to repent. Now you might have some secret sin that you got hidden somewhere. God knows what it is, but not everybody else don't know, but God knows what it is. You got to have that thing cleaned up before probation. Oh, y'all know about probation, don't you? Huh? Because once probation closes, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is unholy, let him be unholy still. You know what I'm talking about. So you better get yourself together. Where is Jesus right now? He's in the sanctuary right now. What is he doing? Blotting out sins. That's what Jesus is in the holy place right now. The most holy, I mean. He's the most holy place right now. Blotting out sins. And you don't want to repent? While he is blotting out sins, that's why I want to be on my knees. I want to ask God to forgive me. I want to forgive everybody. Before I go to bed, God, forgive me. Why? Because Jesus is blotting out sins. Because Jesus will have to step out that sanctuary one day and come get his people. Amen. Well, that is something I just held on to. God is blotting out sins right now. He's blotting out sins. And that's one way to avoid spiritual defeat. Just remember the Lord at all times. And sometimes if we would praise the Lord like we should, the devil would have no room. But so we get in trials and we get in trouble or whatever, and our heart is hurting. We know that the trial, if you're going through some trial, financial or spiritual or even, what do you call it, emotionally, you're going through that trial and you think, okay, Lord, I had enough. Lord said, no, you haven't. You need to be tried in the fire a little longer. I know when you're ready. You know what I'm talking about? But you need to get on your knees and say, God, just give me the strength to endure. Don't ever ask God to take away your trial. Because you got the trial because God allowed it. He ain't going to take it away until you're ready. Gold tried in the fire. He's trying to shake away the dross. That's why when the time of trouble comes, some of us, you know, I want to miss that, but some folk might be right in the midst of it in the time of trouble. It'll be a time of trouble that the world has never known or ever experienced. I want to be with the Lord. What about you? You better make sure you're with God, because that's the only way you're going to get out of it. Huh? So Joshua and the Israelites had to learn how to follow the word of God and do everything God says. God doesn't just talk just to talk. God says, if you don't forgive your brother, neither will I forgive you. But people say, oh, God, he don't really mean that. God don't just talk. He means what he says because he's God. David even got mad at God. What was that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back and it started to fall? Who's the guy, Uzzah? Uzzah stopped it from falling and Uzzah died. What he did was noble. He tried to stop the ark from falling to the ground. But he died. What did the Lord say? You ain't supposed to even touch it. The Lord said, don't touch it. but he touched it. You understand? The Lord means what he says. Understand that the book of Revelation, you're studying that now. Revelation is an apocalyptic book, which means it's going to come to pass. There's no conditional prophecy in Revelation. Conditional prophecy says that Nineveh, if you don't straighten up, God's going to wipe you out. The king and everybody repented, even the king repented, put on sackcloth and ashes, and repented, and Nineveh was saved. That's conditional prophecy. But when it's apocalyptic, Jesus is coming back, ready. You ready for him or not? Whether you believe in him or not, he's coming back. Amen. He's going to wreak havoc on the earth for those who are not ready. That's apocalyptic. It must come to pass. You understand? That's the Revelation, is the apocalyptic book. It's going to come to pass. With everything you're reading, it's going to happen. Amen. You understand? So we need to make sure that our heart is right with God. Get your heart right with God. Get it straightened out with God. Don't be like Achan. Don't hold on to something and try to bury something and hide it, because God knows it. Everything is clear before the Lord. So next time, or even this time, if you have sin in your heart, is it somebody you can't forgive, or somebody you won't forgive? And even pastors go through this stuff. I had a brother. I still have him. He's still living. But my father died. I blamed somebody for that. And it was my brother and his wife. I blamed them for my father's death. And I had so much hatred in my heart that I couldn't even preach. And the Holy Spirit told me, don't you say another word behind the pulpit until you forgive him. Don't you dare speak in my name with all that hatred in your heart. And so much things went through my mind, I can't even tell you what I was thinking about doing in my mind as a pastor. So they invited me to their church to speak in Pittsburgh. So I got on the stage and I called my brother and his wife up on the stage and I hugged them as tight as I could hug them. And I could feel the demons leave me. I could see the demons run out of the walls of Zion because I forgave them. I did what the Lord asked me to do. Been through it. Been there. Done that. It's real, y'all. It's real. I tell you, I was so terrible. My wife bought a book for me called Anger Kills. My wife wanted to snap me out of it, but she couldn't do it. The Holy Spirit had to do it. But you got to listen to him first. You can't keep fighting with the Spirit. You don't fight with the Spirit. You kidding? When the Spirit is talking to your heart, listen. Because that's your last hope. The Holy Spirit seals you. That's all I'm going to say. Don't let sin overwhelm you. If you got to forgive your brother, sometimes you got to eat crow. Because the devil say, don't break. Don't. The devil say, don't show yourself weak. You know, that's the devil talking to you. You ever see those cartoons where they have the guy has a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, and they both talking to him? Hey, you got two voices talking to you. The devil said, don't forgive him what he did to you. The other one said, you got to forgive him or else God won't forgive you. Which one are you going to listen to? Well, why don't we stand at this time? I just want to let you know that God is a loving God. He's done everything he could to save you. Matter of fact, he's already paid the price. He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. All you got to do now is cooperate. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. Oh, I've been a vegetarian all my life. That ain't going to save you. Well, I keep the Sabbath every Sabbath. That ain't going to save you either. Jesus is the one who cleans you up. He is the one. He already paid the price. Don't you understand what already paid means? So all you got to do is cooperate with him. Love your brother. Love God. You'll be all right. Huh? And so well, let us understand that part. That they don't try to think that you can do anything you want. Because let me tell you, we have some lovely people. C.D. Brooks, an apostle in our church, who built churches, who baptized thousands of souls, died of pancreatic cancer. His wife just passed away recently. Lovely woman. And it wasn't her merits that's going to save her. Only Jesus alone. I'm going to say this one last thing and I'm going to shut up. Joshua the high priest, there was a vision. He had a vision and he stood before the Lord. And he had all his clothes were tattered and torn and dirty. And want you to know something? Joshua the high priest, that was the best that he could offer the Lord. His torn and tattered clothes was the best he could offer the Lord. Because your righteousness is as filthy rags. There ain't nothing you can do to save yourself. Then Jesus, then you read it along a little further on, you'll see that God takes off the dirty garments and put him on clean garments. God does it. Are you listening to me? God does it. So just got to trust in God, believe in God, listen to God, and he will bring you through. Amen? God is good. God bless you.